Hi, everyone. My name is Shweta Agarwal, and I have just written my memoir. It's called The Black Rose. It's based on my experiences of colorism from the tender age of six. But I know that this is not just my story. As I say here in the strapline, it's a story of colorism lived by millions silently every day. The publishing company that I have for this book is called Curious Minds Press. And I really just hope that this book helps others heal from their experiences of colorism, because writing this has been the most cathartic thing that I have ever done, and I know I have healed from it.
Hey, it's Kellen, and today on Diversified Game, we have an author who this book is, I'm looking at the reviews on Amazon, it's making people feel like I'm not the only one in the world. Maybe, you know, humans were progressing because folks are writing more and more about the trauma, drama, and the things that are going on. And, you know, a lot of times here in America, especially, I think that the Indian culture, people don't know enough unless you have friends and, you know, you're multicultural. But Shweta has written a book called The Black Rose, where she's pouring her heart, her life experiences into colorism, the issues in India. For those of you who don't know, India has over a billion people. There's a lot of people, and there's also a lot of, you know, drama, trauma in everybody's culture that we're all trying to work out. So welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much. That was amazing. Thank you. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. yeah, I'm good. Thank you. I'm very well. I'm very honored to have had this opportunity with you to be doing this. And thank you so much for mentioning all the reviews. Yeah, they're heartwarming. And, you know, I have people reaching out to me on Instagram and DMs as well, saying, you don't know what your book has done for me. So I feel successful already, because that's all I wanted to do. So, you know, to help people. So thank you.
Yeah, I love shedding light. I don't know, you know, I go to London all the time. I don't watch TV when I'm in London because there's other stuff to do. There's a chippy always calling my name, or a pub, and other things. But, you know, the Indian culture, I don't think, you know, a lot of people really like know, you know, when we talk about colorism and how you know, the caste system and colorism, the British, thank you British for trying to, you know, merge the two and show people, same thing they did in Africa and same thing they did in America, you know, lighter is righter. But tell the folks kind of how you grew up, you know, and just little tips of the book, because I want them to go make sure they go buy it. And if you say, I don't have enough money to buy it, I want you to request it from your local library, or you can do both. It won't kill anybody.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much for that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my experiences with colorism begin from the age of six, because that's how far my memory goes. It's really, really rife in India. It's normalized, I would say. People don't actually think that there's anything wrong with it. Unfortunately, it's not just, it's, you know, the narrative of colorism, the fair is beautiful narrative, isn't the only one. Perceptions of colorism are fair is probably richer, fair is probably more intelligent. That when you look at somebody, you just kind of assume that. And I know that the word fair is a problematic word as well. So I've been trying my best to avoid using it. So light skin, you know, is seen as richer, light skin is seen as more intelligent, light skin is seen as more privileged, light skin is seen as more beautiful. So I mean, that's just kind of like makes me really, really angry, because then where does that leave dark people, right? Dark skin people. And in India, this is the most ironic social construct, because we're predominantly brown. And unfortunately, it comes from multiple, you know, factors as such. There's obviously colonialism that has exacerbated colorism in India post their departure, during their, 200 years of reign. But there's also casteism and classism. These two social constructs in India are really, really rife as well. And it's basically, how do I put it? Basically, in India, if you're light skin, it's like light skin just is everything. So light is supreme in every sense. And I was given a dose of this, a very strong kind of experience as such that is quite traumatic for a child at the age of 6, when my parents had moved to Japan to make a living, and basically my father started a business there, and they couldn't afford my education in Japan. So they enrolled me in a boarding school, because that time in Japan in the 1980s, Japanese schools would only take Japanese kids by race, and the two other international schools were private schools, so he couldn't afford my education. So I was in a boarding school in India for like over 2 years. And as you can imagine, you know, back in the 1980s, there was no FaceTime. I couldn't see my parents. I only saw them once a year. I spoke to them once a fortnight for a total of 3 minutes. And I had that kind of sense of abandonment, you know, that feeling of abandonment. And as a 6-year-old, you don't understand why, right? You don't care about education. You just want to be with your family. And at that time, I was told by extended family members that my parents left me behind because they're ashamed of my color. And that still stuck. Yeah, it's still painful. Like, I well up every time I talk about this. And because it wasn't just said once, it was repeatedly said. And I was repeatedly told this every time I interacted with this one particular man. And it really, really, you know, it got to me. It hurt my soul. Like, I started to actually question, do I not belong to my parents? Because they're very, very, very light, like as light as Indians can get, really. And I was more, you know, I had a more darker skin tone. And I mean, that's another whole conversation, actually, because my whole life I've been telling, you know, been told that I'm dark and I'm, you know, I don't belong to my parents. And really, are you sure you don't look like you belong to your family? But as soon as I started writing this book, I've been bombarded with comments from people saying, but you're not even that dark. So it's like the biggest irony of my life, having to kind of justify to people, but I was, and I started using skin whitening products, and that's why I look like this, because I used it over 3 decades, but now I don't. But yes, my parents are a lot fairer. And after a point, I just realized I'm not justifying myself to anyone. Like, I know what I've written in my story is true, and I know that a lot of people go through this. And it's not just the South Asian community and women in particular. I know that, like, you know, Black women go through it. I know that colorism is rampant in that community, in the South American community, in the Southeast Asian community, in the East Asian community. Colorism is everywhere. I mean, it's like, it's prevalent in pretty much the entire non-white world, in the world of people of color.
Definitely, definitely. Now, to be able then to write a book about it, I'm sure everybody, you know, we talk about the good reviews, but I'm sure there's been probably some family members, friends who have come at you with some very, you know, harsh criticisms, and that's not how that happened, and you're overthinking it. Can you talk about the courage of being able to write this book, publish this book, and speak on it, and if you've been, you know, alienated maybe from some circles because of...
So, yeah. I've had aunts, basically question me and say, well, why are you airing your dirty laundry? Or trivializing it, saying, oh, this is like everyday, you know, everyday things, you know, like this just happens. And it's so, as I was saying, it's so normalized, like they trivialize it. The impact of colorism is trivialized in our society. And I've had aunts say things like, well, you're not going to achieve anything. It's not going to make any difference whatsoever. I've had one of the characters in the book, because I basically mentioned it to everybody that I'm writing this. And a couple of them don't, unfortunately, are, you know, no longer around in this world. And a couple of them are, and I did mention it to them that I'm writing this book. And, you know, I'm just being honest with you. I'm writing about my experiences because I want to help make a difference. And it's not got anything to do with attacking you, but this is how it happened. And you can't deny this. And so I'm writing about my experiences. And I was basically told that, oh, you're just writing this because it's trending.
Mm.
So they find, I'm like, well, actually, firstly, it's not trending. It's, you know, talking about a cause is not a trend. Talking about a cause is something that's always there and always will be there. You fight till your last breath. And secondly, if it was trending, then we would see colorism and the issues that we have around it diminishing. But the opposite is happening. They're not diminishing, it's actually getting worse.
Wow.
And sales of skin whitening products are a testament to that.
So with that, you know, because cycles of beauty, I mean, there's things that change. What used to not be cool, we look at, you know, at least here in America, we look at even like Jay-Z, he has wicks in his hair, taking Basquiat's look, full lips. You know, I'm in Florida, BBLs. I tell people, when the rest of the world gets on BBLs, you're going to see even more of these passport bros leaving, because they're just going to, you know, just leave, even though you can get whatever you want to get. But it's like, what, you know, the Barbie look used to be in America. Now it's the Cardi B, Beyonce, and whomever else you guys can think of, because I'm telling you, it's everybody. Do you see like a change even gradually in the India population, in the United Kingdom, or in India, where more and more young people are saying, you know what, these old ways, we're done?
Here in the UK, yes. I see a lot of diversity on television and in adverts, you know, even body sizes, like hair texture, skin color, everything. Disabilities, you know, you see a lot of that now. Whereas in the Indian media world, unfortunately, they have a lot of work to do, a lot. So the film industry, for example, essentially only has light-skinned women. You don't see representation of dark-skinned women at all. And when you do, there's only, you only see dark skin, quote unquote, representation up until a certain color. And beyond that, like, you don't see any more representation. And when you call it out, then people are like, oh, well, of course there is. There is, you know, that actress and this actress. And I'm like, you've just proven my point. I'm not talking about that shade. I'm talking about people darker, because there are millions of darker Indians in India, but where is their representation? You don't see it in the kind of you know, advert world either, because everybody advertising, you know, from a pressure cooker to a car, you see only light-skinned people advertising it, or women. You see beauty parlors offering skin whitening facials. Very, very, it's very common. So in India, it's shocking that the narrative hasn't changed. The narrative is still fair is beautiful.
Wow. You know, in America, I think we were first introduced to that through, you know, the masses, through like movies like Mississippi Masala with Denzel Washington. And, you know, they touched upon that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I even think of a more recent movie that came out a few years ago, Namaste Wahala, which was a great, I want to see more Nigeria, Nollywood and Bollywood combined. But even in that, it was lighter skinned actresses from India. And right now is the only time I didn't think about that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with the dark skin, could you name, you know, who they are, their go-to? Cause it's kind of like that with, oh no, you can't say that, cause Barack Obama's president. So of course, America's not, has no racial issues, but who are the dark skinned actresses or leaders that people always bring up, just so folks like myself can go Google and say, let's put a campaign to have them in the next, you know, collaboration.
Yeah, sure. So there were three names that were brought up repeatedly when I posted celebrating Simone Ashley and Charitra Chandran on Bridgerton in the Netflix series, right? So I was so proud, and so I felt so seeing them on television, you know, as a kind of main characters. And you don't see such melanated beauties in the Indian film industry. So I called it out and I said, you know, whilst Bollywood is kind of obsessed with fair skinned beauties, the mainstream world is celebrating melanated beauties. And repeatedly, there were three names mentioned in terms of like people objecting to my message was, of course, there is, you know, there are, there's Priyanka Chopra, there's Deepika Padukone, and there's Kajol. And I just thought, well, they're nowhere near as melanated as Simone Ashley or Charitra. Like, you've just proven my point. So that's exactly what I mean. It's almost like they're colorblind. They can't see beyond a certain color. They don't actually care about representation of, you know, more melanated, darker skin beauties. And these three names were repeatedly brought up. And guess what? All three actresses have gone through some sort of skin lightening in their time in Bollywood. And I'm not condemning them, because I completely understand. It's so rife in India that, you know, you succumb to the pressure, right? And they're celebrities and they succumb to the pressure in order to survive in the industry. And then because it's so normalized, they probably didn't even think twice about being the face of these skin whitening creams. At that time, back in the 1990s or even 2000s and so on, they probably didn't think, oh, well, actually, it's not a big deal. But obviously, going back in time, they now realize that actually that was wrong. And I'm kind of endorsing something that actually had an impact on my self-esteem. But then, you know, that awakening comes to people later, right? Like it did to me. I carried on, I succumbed to the pressure and I carried on using skin whitening products for decades. And there was one specific moment and one specific kind of point in my life where I had my awakening and I kind of realized this is so wrong. I can't be doing this any longer. So I'm not condemning their behavior at all. If anything, I'm empathizing with it, but it's a vicious circle. And that's the problem I have with colorism and, you know, the kind of skin whitening world. The society believes in it really strongly, that fair is beautiful, and that's what they want to see in the media. The media then only portrays that because they want to cater to what the society wants to see. And then the skin whitening products are thriving based on the two.
So are there any like networks, whether they're in India or outside, like we have, back in the day, BET, which, you know, was Black Entertainment Television. Are there any Indian networks that are focusing to make that right? Because that's not just the issue in the Indian culture. You know, Latin America has the same issue. Mexico, same issue. It's like they just recognize, you know, the darker skinned people until Lupita comes out and wins awards and, oh, she's Mexican. You know, she's Mexican first because this is where, you know, her yeah. one of her citizenships are. So are there anything like that that have been created?
Whatever I have seen, I would say no. Okay. Because even in the film industries in the southern part of India, where you see more melanated people, South Indians generally, I would say, tend to have a darker skin tone on average than North Indians. Even in their movies, there's hardly any representation. And by the way, it's okay for men to be dark. And that's what you see in Bollywood, you know, a lot as well. And in the southern film industry, the south of India. But it's not okay for the women to be dark. And so they're still kind of, they're still only hiring fair skinned actresses. And it's really ironic because, and quite disconcerting to be honest, because it doesn't make any sense. Like there is literally no representation anywhere. And again, they, you know, they argue, there's this whole like debate between the kind of North Indians and the South Indians, and South Indians going, well, of course we have it in our movies. We have much better representation. And we're like, not really. and then the North Indians saying, oh, of course we have representation. What are you talking about? We've got, you know, Priyanka and Kajol and so on and so forth. And we're like, no, really, that's not melanated enough. So they're kind of like, I think they're just not addressing the problem. Because they just don't seem to care.
So you know what that means, you guys and ladies who are listening, this is your opportunity For those who, you know, are in the film or whatever you are, whether it's casting, you know, there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes. Bob Johnson made millions, you know, taking on something that no one else was thinking about or able to do. And I could see if you have good content, the world doesn't care. Now we have, you know, the internet, and now we're going into Web3 and, you know, all the talks of that. So just create and be intentional. Not to put, you know, you can't do everything yourself. So I don't want to put it all on you. But what is, you know, this, you've written multiple books. Again, folks, they all have good reviews, especially the children's books too. What is a community give back that you are doing or that you plan to do in the future? And maybe it has something to do, you know, with this topic at hand.
Sorry, you mean with regards to colorism?
It could be anything, but if it is regards to colorism, you know, we can stay on topic or you can go far left. You feel free, safe space.
I mean, I would absolutely love to see representation. It would be my dream come true, you know, to see more melanated people on television, adverts, media, in every sense, right? Unfortunately, we can't deny that the media world influences us like never, it has never before. Right? Kids are constantly on social media. That's all they see. That's all they absorb. We are surrounded by it. We're, you know, television, radio, everything. And the messaging is constant. So I would absolutely love to see more representation. I don't know, in terms of like me creating my own content for it, I haven't thought about that yet, to be very honest. But one of the things that I do want to do is, in terms of my next steps, I'm trying to create this, and I'm not very good at it, you know, with video content, is I want to create a short video so that I can start a campaign on change.org and challenge the definition of the word fair in the English dictionary. Because I've gone through the Oxford Dictionary, Collins Dictionary, Merriam-Webster's Dictionary, and, you know, even on the internet, dictionary.com, every dictionary lists these definitions. There's, of course, the, you know, the fair being right, righteous, all of that. But then after that, the next one is light-skinned, pale, blonde. The next one is pretty, beautiful, flawless. So as you can imagine, if you've got the word fair here and you've got light skin, pale and blonde, and you've got pretty, beautiful and flawless, it doesn't even take a child to link the two, and then basically they become synonyms, right? Yeah. I.e. only light skin is beautiful. So if you're dark skinned, you're ugly. I mean, that's what they're going to draw out of this definition, to infer, isn't it? And I want to change that definition. So, you know, I know that dictionaries add new words all the time. So I don't see any reason why a word can't be amended with regards to its definition. So the next thing I do want to do is basically set up a campaign on change.org. And I need people to help me with spreading that and sharing that so I can get signatures. So I can actually get them to take this seriously, because they're the gatekeepers of the language. And this is really problematic, because that's what kids are being taught at school.
I want people to kind of reflect. It's a heavy topic, and with the time that we have, could you let the people know not just where to contact you, but is the majority, would you say, when you say South versus North, are the majority of Indians darker skinned? You know, because darker skin, it could be based on what you feel is dark, but would you say the majority are without the skin bleaching?
Absolutely, yes. Predominantly. I mean, it's a brown country, you know, and that's what India was before they were conquered by the Mughals and the Persian race and the Aryans. We're going back thousands and thousands of years ago in time. So 100%, India is predominantly brown, and there are various shades of brown. And, you know, as you just mentioned, dark is all relative. And fair is all relative. And that's one of the things about colorism. It's, you know, it's complicated. As I say in the first chapter of my first book, you know, colorism, it's complicated. There are blurred lines, or perhaps blurred shades would be more appropriate to say. And that's literally the first two lines of my book. So yeah, and that's why it's so ironic that we in a society that is predominantly brown aspire to be light skinned.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing the things that with all this technology, the things we're still you know fighting over, discussing. It's crazy because in you know 100, 200, maybe 1,000 years, people will be like, this is what these Neanderthals they'll be calling us. We're talking about. Let the people know where they can find your book. And I will have links in the description for those of you, the majority of you who are listening, links will be in the description, but let them know where they can find your book and connect with you elsewhere.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you again. So the book again is The Black Rose. It's available on Amazon. Generally everywhere. It's available as a Kindle version as well. And I'm aiming to start with an audiobook soon. I need a lot of practice for that. and on Instagram, I am pretty active. The handle is The Black Rose Way. And hopefully I'll start posting here on YouTube as well. I'm not very good with social media, and I've kind of just become comfortable with Instagram. So yeah, please do look me up on Instagram. And thank you so much for listening. And I really, really hope that my story can help you heal in some way if you have had experiences of colorism. I am sorry if it resonates with you. I never ever say I'm glad, because it shouldn't resonate with anybody. I apologize in advance if it resonates with you, and you'll probably feel the pain. You'll have to walk through that pain to then come to that point where you feel like you've healed. But I do also encourage you to share your stories. Please start, you know, discussing them. Feel proud of your melanin, and the more stories we share, real stories with real people, real experiences, the more this will become a movement sooner, and the quicker we can fight colorism together.
You guys have been blessed with the game. Now it's your turn to do your job, and that share, it will change someone's life. Guys, be blessed.
Hi, everyone. Have you ever been curious about visiting Africa? Which African country were you interested in? Kenya, Nigeria, Uganda, South Africa, Ethiopia? Which country are you interested in? My good friend, Kellen Cash Coleman, came up with a course called My First Trip to Africa that'll guide you through this process. It's only $20, and in this course, you'll learn about passports, visas, vaccinations that you need before you go there, as well as a budget, how much the trip is gonna cost. He also talks about what you should pack, what you should take with you, how you should travel on a budget. Did you know that $100 is worth 1,000 South African rand and over 10,000 Kenyan shillings? So imagine what you can do with $100 back home. I say back home because I'm from Sudan, I'm African, I already know how it's like. I know that, you know, when you convert Canadian and American money, it goes a long way when you're traveling across Africa. So if you're curious, if Africa is a place that you've always wanted to go, always wanted to move there, Kellen Cash is the person to ask. Check out the course, there's a little preview you can listen to before you actually purchase it. If you're interested in this course, visit www.diversifiedgame.com. Don't miss out.